This episode of the See You Next Summer podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We love the quality of Zencastr. We mostly use it of how the high quality of the audio recordings, and it will always help us to sound our best. We have used Zencastr for more than 2 years. We love it. So right now, this episode is brought to you by them. We have an offer right now. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code CUSEEYOU, and you will get 30% off of your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences that we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story, any kind of podcast, from cooking, movies, TV shows. We highly recommend you. So please go to Zencastr.com/pricing. Use our code CUSEEYOU and you'll get 30% off of any Zencastr pay plan. Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm Raul Rodriguez, and here's with me the Lois Lane to my Richard, Billy Palahan.
Really? You're going to make me Kate Bosworth? Man.
Okay, you're the Superman to my little boy with asthma.
Okay, you're sort of screwing yourself there, but okay.
I know.
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Well, I cannot do the other one. I'm talking about Lex Luthor, god damn it.
Well, not that Lex Luthor anyway.
Mm-hmm, I know.
But you could do Jimmy Olsen.
Okay, I'll be the fanboy Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. Anyway, what's up, guys? We're here to conclude my birthday month.
Mm-hmm.
We have returned.
Yes.
Ha ha ha. And we are talking about 2006 Superman Returns.
Damn.
There hadn't been a Superman movie since 1987.
Wow. This movie was 18 years ago.
Yeah.
God damn.
I was only 10 years old.
I was 17 when this movie came out. Damn. But yeah, we're doing Superman Returns, and also we have to talk about the big two elephants in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bryan Singer. God damn it. Yeah, Bryan Singer, good director, but a bad person in real life.
As is Kevin Spacey.
Oh, Kevin Spacey.
Great. And he was a good actor, man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually, like, one of the actors that was still, like, you know, he was consistently in movies at that point. And then once that came out,
everything. He lost everything.
They cut his throat, as they should.
Yep. Mm-hmm, as they should. It's interesting that Elon Musk is not doing a trial for him to come back to Hollywood like stupid Gina Carano.
Don't give him any ideas. But yeah, this is the movie. So Bryan Singer, this wasn't his first time directing
a superhero.
Superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
No, you could say he was actually the godfather of the modern superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
With the 2000s X-Men, which gave us Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, which is one of the greatest actors to characters ever. And we didn't even know about it.
Ian McKellen as Magneto.
And Patrick Stewart as Charles Xavier. I mean, the casting for the most part was pretty spot on. And there are a couple Bryan Singer regulars in here, too.
And also, that first movie gave us one of the most iconic lines in cinema history. You know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? Say the same thing that happens to everything else.
And it makes no sense because they completely cut the scenes where it would make sense. They did not think that through. But my point,
Bryan Singer gave us the best sequel, X-Men 2.
X-Men United. And then they were going to make X-Men 3, The Last Stand. But he dropped out of it to do this movie.
Well, also because Fox didn't want it to wait for him.
Yeah, because he was also supposed to do a remake of Logan's Run. Since then, that remake has been shelved. And he was a pretty guy. A pretty busy guy. And I bring this up. I think it's actually kind of fitting that Bryan Singer did this. Because Richard Donner basically started what is quote-unquote the modern superhero. But then Bryan Singer came in with X-Men, and that was the real, like, the turn of the century, millennia.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Donner did the original superhero movie craze of what we know. And then Bryan Singer started the modern phase. So it would be appropriate that it would come back in that full circle moment. Yeah. Casting for most parts pretty good. Brandon Routh, a complete unknown, and convinced that they only cast him because of his likeness to Christopher Reeve, which it is there.
Yes, there's a lot of Christopher Reeve in him, and it also, God, he's gorgeous. Brandon Routh's gorgeous. But also, I have a certain nostalgia for this movie because it was the first movie I saw on IMAX. And so,
this was when IMAX was still a new thing.
It was very new. And so, and also I got to see this in 3D, that they give you a minute before the scene that is going to be in 3D, they put out the lens on a corner. It says that put out your glasses before the scene, and you had to put it on for the 3D scenes.
I remember that with Spy Kids 3D.
Yes.
Which we did cover that episode, mm-hmm. if you guys want to check that out, for Robert Rodriguez. But yeah, Superman Returns came out in 2006, and there is a screenplay by Michael Dougherty, of all people.
The first time we're talking about Michael Dougherty.
Yeah, and the guy Dan Harris, who was known, he actually wrote X-Men 2. Nice. But he also did X-Men Apocalypse.
Ooh.
But he did this movie. Mm-hmm. Eh?
Michael Dougherty, for people that don't know, is the guy that created Trick or Treat and Godzilla,
King of the Monsters,
and Krampus. For me, three really good movies for me.
Yeah, and came out June 28th, 2006. 2.5 hours, and basically it was supposed to be take place in the original Superman film series.
Even though the technology doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a homage, but also a sequel. And it ignores the events of Superman 3, 4, and technically Supergirl, which mm-hmm. was in that same universe. And it just makes no sense. And we get that opening text. It's just like the origin of Superman. But then it's like, so he's been gone for 5 years when astronomers discovered pieces of Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
And he has this belief that, oh, Krypton might be back. So he goes to space to see if Krypton still exists. It doesn't.
And he left Earth for 5 years.
5 years for what you did?
And then Superman comes back. And then we also have to get into talking about the introduction. I have seen this movie maybe like 5 times, and I still love the introduction of Lex Luthor. We see this old lady in her dying bed, and she's just talking to a guy. I was like, and you promised me after you went out to get her a present, you were going to take care of me. You show me pleasures like never before.
Ew.
I'm going to give you everything, Lex. And she's signing her will. And I love all of the people outside of the room. Don't do it. He's just a crook. Don't do it. And then I love Lex Luthor finishing the signing. And the woman dies. And this old young girl stares at Lex. I was like, you can get this. And he takes out his wig. And I'm going to keep everything. Everyone's like, and I love it, him celebrating getting out of the house. And we focus on the big yacht. The bigger boat.
Yeah, by the way, that old woman.
She looked familiar.
One Lois Lane, Noel Neal.
Oh!
Not the only Superman Legacy cameo. Not the movie Superman Legacy that's going to come out next year. Like the Legacy casting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we get the private yacht. Also, instead of Miss Taskmaker, now we get, what was her name in this movie?
Trissy or something?
Kitty Kowalski.
Parker Posey.
We haven't talked about her since Scream 3. We haven't. But also, I know her most from Dazed and Confused and Josie and the Pussycats.
I need to see that movie.
Either way, I'm very entertained by Parker Posey, is my point.
Yeah, she's great.
Here, she's kind of annoying.
I like her, though. I think that was the point of being a, like, annoying kind of like side character.
They should have just called her Miss Tessmacher, Eve Tessmacher.
I wonder, was maybe she hired as Tessmacher, but they changing on editing or something? Because she's behaving like Miss Tessmacher.
Because the character literally is based on the same character.
She even looks a little bit like the actress from the first two movies.
I don't know about that. But I love Kevin Spacey in this movie. I know it sounds terrible, but...
I know.
Yeah.
He's a very good Lex.
Anyway, they go north to the Fortress of Solitude.
And this is the first thing that I want to talk about, the fucking timeline. What the fuck is going on here?
Because he already do that in Superman 2?
Mm-hmm. And then even Ben Parker Posey was like, it feels like you have been here. And also, which ending is this fucking movie following? Is it following the Donner Cut ending or the Lester ending?
Who knows? Well, Lex, he manages to go to the fortress, which is now an echoey chamber. And we get stock footage of Marlon Brando after his death. Really shitty move to do that.
Yep.
And then he's just like, oh, tell me everything. So once again, didn't you already get told everything in Superman 2?
Or maybe Superman kissed Lex before he left. Maybe that's why his Lex doesn't remember.
Maybe. Also, his random henchmen. Did you see one of them played by Cal Penn?
He didn't get a line in the whole movie.
He didn't get a single line in this movie.
Right, and he
had... I think he had one, which was like, oh, sorry, because he drops the little bit of Kryptonian crystal.
And he got a little bit of billing after Kate Bosworth, because it was Brandon Round, Kevin Spacey, Fran Langella, Kate Bosworth, and then Cal Penn.
And you know that it's only because of Harold and Kumar.
Yeah.
Had recently come out. Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. It's one of
they
the best.
They get the young people.
Yeah, it's one of the best stoner movies of all time. I also love, well, heck, that whole trilogy with Escape from Guantanamo Bay and A Very Harold and Kumar
the Christmas one. Yeah.
While that's happening, Clark manages to crash, just like the first movie, into Smallville. Oh yeah, his mother's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they just, but then again, it did ignore the events of 3 and 4. So,
and, so technically, she was alive in both casts of 2.
Yes, and played by legendary actress Eva Marie Saint,
mm-hmm.
who is in one of my favorite movies. Funny enough, with Marlon Brando, it's called On the Waterfront.
Oh, okay, cool.
I think that's Marlon Brando's best performance ever. Mm-hmm. That's the I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody. That movie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she's still alive too. She's in her 90s.
And then the thing that you said before,
she also voiced older Katara in
Korra. Oh, really? Didn't I know that?
Yeah, anyway, very legendary actress. She's been around for a very long time, one of the last of the Golden Age. I think she was also a Hitchcock girl. I'm forgetting which one.
She looks like a Hitchcock girl. I was going to say
the Hitchcock blonde. Mm-hmm. But she manages to get, oh, Clark, who's in like this weird gray Kryptonian garb. Yeah, I do like when he's playing with this dog, which is of course a golden retriever. He throws the ball.
I feel bad for that dog. I look at him, so I was like, you bitch.
That was a dick move on his part. He knew that.
Yeah,
and I know it's supposed to be a homage to when he kicks the football, mm-hmm. but like, come on. They even do like, oh, weird cut to him running through cornfields.
It's the meal that can look a lot like Bryan Singer.
He kind of does look like Bryan Singer.
I was like, was that his son or something? And also, I...
No, it wasn't.
Also, I want to...
Also the fact that Bryan Singer is gay.
Uh-huh.
So, well, then again, straight men have been known to switch
mm-hmm.
to being gay. But Bryan Singer is not that man.
Ah, okay. I was going to ask that. And also, one line before this scene, I also like that before Lex gets to the Fortress of Solitude, I was like, Lex, but what is your plan? I was like, and then he's like, do you know the story of Prometheus? Sounds great, Lex, but you're not a god. God is a silly man with a red cape who doesn't share his abilities with the people. I'm just going to give fire to the people. I just want my cut. I love that this Kevin Spacey Lex Luthor is technically an extension of Gene Hackman's one. And still, he just interested in money and land.
Yeah.
But a very more possessive kind of way of Lex Luthor, because Lex Luthor feel like he didn't want to kill people in the original movies. In this one, he doesn't give a fuck about killing people.
No, he's very much what Kevin Spacey is in real life. Just yes. Very intense, mm-hmm. But kind of commands a room.
You're afraid of this Lex Luthor.
Mm. Yeah, and he has like this face of like when he stares at you, you just feel creeped out. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's going to do something violent to you. That one aged a little too well.
Yeah.
I know. We keep mentioning it, but
we have to.
We know you're thinking it. Come yeah. on. Don't act like you're not doing it. But then the funniest thing happens is when he returns to Earth. Well, first, his mom is just like, oh, my gosh, it's so good to be back. But did you find Krypton? And he just goes, no. Basically a waste of time. Well, shit.
They feel like a writer's move just to do an inciting incident.
I do like when Brandon Routh like stares off. Mm-hmm. He does that a lot. And he has to do a lot of acting with his eyes.
Yes.
And he has this look on him for a lot of the movie of like, oh man, I regret doing what I did, but I can't take it back. And mm-hmm. yeah, everything's changed because the Daily Planet. He's right back into his Clark Kent persona.
Yes.
And he meets Jimmy Olsen, played this time by Sam Huntington, whom we haven't seen since Fanboys on this channel.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty decent Jimmy Olsen. I mean, he's got
he was a pretty good Jimmy
Olsen. He's got the look. Okay. He's got the modern camera for some reason, but he's very much like, oh, hey, Clark, what's up? It's been forever since... They act very casual about the fact that Clark's been gone for 5 years.
He went to explore llamas.
And whatnot. And then Perry White, played by Frank Langella. Also pretty decent Perry White. Mm-hmm. Hugh Laurie was originally supposed to be Perry White.
No fucking way.
Yeah, also, watch your mouth, sir. This is... Superman would not approve of that swearing so much, but wait, yes. So
this was a surprise that you were saving. This was going to be Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, like, so we always talk before the podcast, and he was just like, oh, who is it going to be? But yeah. Hugh Laurie was, but he had to drop out because of House.
Because of House. I was going to say, God damn it. That would have been cool.
That would have been weird seeing James Marsden being the son, or being the nephew of, Hugh Laurie.
It would have been interesting though, but yeah, it would have been weird.
It would have been like, because that's where James Marsden comes in. We get Richard White, who is Perry's nephew. Who is engaged to Lois, and they have a 5-year-old son named Jason. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the thing. First, Perry White's just like, you can thank this other guy for dying, for getting you your job back, Kent. Mm-hmm. And then they move him into the storage closet. I thought that was funny. And then he doesn't reunite with Lois, the most important person. She's off on assignment.
In a weird test for a high-speed plane that is attached to a rocket?
Yeah, she's aboard a jetliner and it's being used to launch a new shuttle. Why do you need to use a jetliner to launch a space shuttle?
I thought it was all the way around.
Those two things don't add up.
I think it was because the rocket could go faster and the jet will go in a higher altitude. That's how I understand it.
Either way, she's there.
Yeah.
And he explores through the desk and that's what happened. We get Jimmy, who's just there for exposition yet again. And just like Superman, or just like Lois and Clark. And
they have been engaged for years, like Lois and Richard.
Yeah, and then she also won a Pulitzer Prize.
Because of the article, Why the World Doesn't Need Superman.
Even though she still doesn't know how to spell.
I like that continuity.
Which I love that. And they're just watching, because this interview is being televised all of a sudden, the poor flight attendant or whatever in the glasses is just always, she's the most unconvincing person.
Yes.
One of the most unconvincing people in this movie. You know, everything's fine. It's all that. Doesn't answer any questions.
No.
She's a terrible hostess, really.
Yes, she is. And then at the same time, we see Parker Posey and Lex Luthor going back to the house. And because we established that the old lady had two dogs. I think they called Shih Tzus. I forgot the name of the race of the dogs.
I believe so.
Yeah, the two Shih Tzu dogs. But there was like, weren't there two of them? Because she finds one of the dogs with a little bone and a little bit of blood. And then Parker Posey picks one of the dogs. And then Lex took the crystals from the Fortress of Solitude. And then sees that the old lady had like a beautiful town like a train set all around at the bottom of the house, and then they cut a little bit of piece of the crystal and put it in water, and it makes like a mini Fortress of Solitude. And I do like the parallel of how the train set is destroyed, and it feels like the end of Superman 1, of like the dam breaking and the
that's the point of it.
I do like that though. I did like that thing. And Cal Penn never said a word. Maybe he said like, eh. Like the way that he dropped the little crystal.
I think he said, I'm sorry. And yeah, that's about it. But he's literally just there to look dumbfounded the entire movie.
Yeah. And then we get to the set piece when we see that the shadow.
Oh, it's because it also, they made an EMP in a way because it took all the power.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that weird EMP screwed up the release handles on the space shuttle.
Well, also the internet and all of the telephones.
Yeah, so the jetliner can't be released and it's going into space with the shuttle.
So you can say that maybe also this could be the inciting incident of that TV show Revolution that I never saw.
Well, it is, but it is the inciting incident for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And because then, once again, we get he gets to do the shirt rip.
I do like that though, right, the way that he runs and he shows like, yes! And
also the weird blue colored contacts, they're way too overcolored.
They're very Twilight, kind of like, they stare at you on the screen of how blue they are.
He's got good eyes, but they're not that blue.
And
I've had the pleasure of meeting Brandon Routh.
Nice!
They are not blue.
And so the shuttle fails, and so the NASA shuttle technically burns part of the wing of the plane. Superman comes, releases the shuttle, but then the plane is still in flames. It goes a little bit in zero gravity. And this is one of my first complaints about this movie. We see Lois jumping from different parts of the plane like a pinball. She should be dead. Like, she should be fucking dead. Like three times. God damn it. And then the plane drops. And I do love the way that they do the boom of Superman flying. Like, boom. And you see the whole, like, you hear the sound. And boom, boom. And then we see Superman destroying one part of the wings, and then he goes in front of the airplane. And I love how everybody at the baseball court stares at this, and I love the shot of the whole plane falling, but how he puts it a break and then lands the plane. And I love when he gets in and then he says, oh, like, how's everybody doing? And I was like, oh my god, he's Superman. And then he stares at Lois, how are you doing? Everybody goes, sees Lois, oh. And then he says in that line, well, you still know that airplanes are still the best, safest way to travel.
Oh, we got to mention, this whole rescuing the jetliner and stuff,
it's like the biggest action sequence of the movie.
Really the only, yeah, and it's towards the beginning of the movie. And that's about as good as it gets when it comes to action. But it's also the best scene in the movie.
I do like the boat scene, though. But the whole thing with the boat rips.
And that's where that's where I'm sure the IMAX played a big part with the plane.
I saw it scene. And it looked gorgeous.
But it's awesome. And it's also, it's during a baseball game, which is the most American thing possible, where he lands it there. And then everyone, of course, is like, yeah! Oh, also, second Superman casting, like of old Superman actors, the bartender that talks with Jimmy and Clark, Jack Larson, was the original Jimmy Olsen in The Adventures with Superman with George Reeves. That's why he has the little bow tie on and everything.
Ah, that's so cute.
And so when he's hugging Jimmy, it's Jimmy and Jimmy.
Oh, that's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and of course, they do the same thing where Lois she faints and falls down the big slide. Also, we should mention that Lois is played by Kate Bosworth, whom I know her from the movie 21. And also, one of the worst miniseries I have ever seen, The Island.
Oh my god, I remember.
Do you remember that? But yeah, decent. Oh yeah, forgot about Win a Date with Tad Hamilton. How could I forget about that movie with Topher Grace and Josh Duhamel?
Ah, those were the times.
Early, very much an early 2000s actress.
Would there be any other options for Lois Lane outside of Kate Bosworth?
Let me check. Oh, I learned that Kate Bosworth is actually married to Justin Long now.
Talking about fanboys.
So,
So yeah, she faints.
Let me look she up the. She faints as we the, see the like casting.
That. She faints outside of the plane because of the slide, the inflatable slide. I love that everybody stares at Superman and the whole town and the TVs, and I love the epicness of the John Williams score. And I was like, this is a really good moment. And then we see that Lex is seeing the mini Fortress of Solitude. And then we go back to Perry. I was like, I want to know everything. I want to know if he gained weight. I want to know if he has someone. What about his lifestyle? And then he says, Superman returns. And then you can hear roll credits.
That's what I did. I just went,
oh, he said it.
He said it.
Okay, so for the Claire Danes and Kerry Russell were reportedly also considered. I could see Claire Danes.
Claire Danes will have been interesting.
Amy Adams said that she did audition. She would later become Lois Lane.
Oh, later. Interesting, because also Harry Cavill.
Yes, he was.
Was almost on the running for and, this one, too.
That was also like when Amy Adams had also auditioned for Lois in 2003 when Brett Ratner was going to direct Superman Flyboy with that project before it went on to J.J. Abrams, or before it went to Mick. I think it was written by Mick G.
I thought it was written by J.J.
Oh, no. It was written by J.J., but it was going to be directed by Mick G. That's a great Superman what if.
Yeah.
Also with Superman Lives.
Because technically, correct me if I'm wrong, this in Mission Impossible 3 came out in 2006, 2007?
2006.
Because technically, JJ hasn't directed a movie by this point yet.
Yeah. No, it was Mick G.
Wow.
But yeah, also for Superman, Colossus actor Daniel Cudmore auditioned because, you know, X2.
Okay.
Henry Cavill, Chris Pratt. And Sam Heughan, who is Jamie Frazier from Outlander, all also auditioned.
Wow.
Henry Cavill and Brandon Routh were the ones closest. Oh, yeah. Coincidentally, Brandon Routh auditioned for Clark Kent for Smallville.
Wow.
So it's like all these little things. Oh, Richard Branson cameoed as the engineer aboard the space shuttle, the business magnet.
Oh, wow.
I did not realize that was him, but yeah.
And then Perry was like, this story is not about the blackout, Lois, it's about him. I was like, then Perry talks with Lois. I was like, this paper is about, we only talk about sex, tragedy, and Superman. I'm like, that goes against what Perry said in the first two movies, that specific in Superman 4, because he will say that it's all about the truth here.
They're ignoring Superman 3 and 4.
I know. I was like, but still, I was like, wait a damn minute.
I think Frank Langella is actually a decent Perry White.
He's very decent.
But the other problem for me is he's always been too old for everything. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always one of those old man actors, like Walter Matthau. They were old even when they were young.
And then Clark meets Lois' son, Jason, and notices that Jason has an inhaler and he needs a lot of vitamins and a lot of medicine. And he also has a lot of allergies. And then Clark meets Richard White, James Marsden. And then we see Lex reading the Daily Planet, that the Man of Steel is back. I was like, no, this is one of my things about pacing and plot holes. Did Lex knew that Superman was coming back before the movie started?
No.
Because this is another timeline plot hole, because it stated that Lex Luthor was free, in quotes, because Superman couldn't go to the hearing.
Thank you for that, Jimmy. Oh, and it was for his fifth parole hearing.
Uh-huh.
For serving two life sentences. And they let him off on a technicality because Superman wasn't there to testify. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You really couldn't get anybody else to testify knowing this guy is clearly guilty.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like Donald Trump. I know I had to say it.
You had to say, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can't say that Lex Luthor isn't very much a power-greedy Trump figure, except with the intelligence that he claims that he wishes that he had.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not afraid. Also, the kid that plays Jason sucks.
Yeah, he's a bad actor.
Look, I love this movie, but yeah. I can cut him some slack. Most kid actors are bad. They're kids. But, dude, just this kid is a bummer.
Yeah, he's really bad. Also, his hair.
Cut your damn hair. No 5-year-old has hair that long.
I know, we unless... complain at the same time. and then we see that Richard, Clark follows Lois at her new place. very fancy place that Richard has. Very, like by the lake, by the water, then in Metropolis / New York.
It's kind of Great Gatsby-esque.
Yes.
It's not like a mansion or anything, but I do like how he uses X-ray vision and how we hear his super hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The super hearing sounds very similar to the original movie, too.
And then I was just like, were you in love with him with Superman? I was like, no. And as we see that Clark was like, he leaves all sad, and then he remembers what Jor-El said, "I seen you, my only son." And I do love this shot of Brandon Routh looking at the Earth on space with his cape flying, like floating, and he listening to all of the world. And then we get, I do like this scene a lot, where he goes to stop the robbers with the big machine gun, and then Superman arrives with his chest, and I love his chest is touching all of the bullets to saving the guards. And then we get one of the most iconic things from the movie that for me, and when the robber shoots Superman on the eye, and the eye doesn't flinch because it's also his eye made of steel. And I love just the bullet blood.
I remember they used that for all the promotion.
Yes, they did.
So basically he becomes a workaholic because he's trying to fight all the feelings for Lois.
And I love his smirk though. Brandon Routh's smirk and his little hair. God damn.
Yeah. We also have yet another rooftop scene
with
Lois. And she's acting mildly hostile towards him. And she poured to Clark like, oh, how hard is it to say goodbye? Goodbye like that. And he's like, well, maybe Superman couldn't say goodbye because it was too hard for the people that he loves.
And then before this...
And then she's just like, that's total bullshit, by the way. This one scene on the rooftop is the one scene where I'm like, Kate Bosworth. Yeah, that's Lois.
Yeah, I will agree with that. That's the only time that she behaved like a Lois Lane. But I do love... It's one of my favorite shots of the movie. When they start floating in the way that they look in front of the Daily Planet globe. God,
that's a very good shot.
That's a gorgeous shot.
Yeah, and then she's just like, you know, my fiance takes me flying all the time. And he goes, not like this.
God damn it. That's a very...
I love that she takes off the shoes because she knows. And then they just slowly float upwards,
you know what, reminded
into
me,
the upper atmosphere.
The way that they're floating, but also feels like they're dancing, reminded me of Casper. I had to reference Casper, goddamn.
So did he whisper, can I
keep... Yes!
Which I always found very creepy, the way that Casper says that. But I love that he takes her into the upper atmosphere. And first of all, the wind is almost non-existent. And second, she isn't like...
Yeah, she's not joking.
But he's just like, what do you hear? And she goes, nothing. And he goes, I hear everything.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, be lucky that I'm giving you any attention, bitch.
And also, before this, Parker Posey, during the montage of like Superman saving a lot of people, she was like losing control of her car.
And that was done on purpose. So Lex could steal kryptonite from a museum.
And do you notice the year? That's 1978.
Yes, I did. And maybe it's weird foreshadowing, but his hair looks remarkably similar, like Jesse Eisenberg's would later become in Batman vs. Superman.
Yes, I was gonna
like the wig that he uses.
The wig! Oh my god! That's a good catch. Thank you. I did not notice that. That is a very good catch.
Yeah, but they did this. And she's legitimately scared. And Superman, he catches the car, and he lowers
that comic
it,
comic
and
book
it's a
cover.
Direct of Action Comics number one, the most famous comic book in the world. Superman has a thing in this movie about catching things and lowering them slowly down.
It feels like a lot of...
It's not very exciting.
I do like it, though, because it feels like doing like a little homage to comic book covers.
Yeah, but he does that later in the movie too,
and then we see that Superman I love that Superman when they go back to the Daily Planet, Lois is like I love that Lois goes to the lunchroom, and then we see that Richard and Jimmy Olsen and Clark they stare at her, I was like, do you want a burrito or anything? She's like, we hold her like this, like all around. I was like, I don't know.
I mean, it's literally like, I love that she still smokes or whatever. And he just blows it out. Like, But it's literally like she did the moment with the cigarette. That's all she needed. But yeah, no, there's the scene where they almost kiss because they both, they have that lustful feeling for each other. But she's just like, you know, Richard's a good man. He's like, I know. Mm-hmm. So he's still being very respectful of her boundaries and everything. It's just the it's just, you know, that longing lust that they have for each other. And people complain about Routh and Bosworth. I think it's because, you know, maybe it's just not there. But it kind of works in that moment because, oh, they haven't done this in a while and it's getting back into the rhythm of it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the movie, they start to get a little bit of it again.
And I also can understand the awkwardness between both of them because technically the movie already stated that they have been separated for 5 years. Also, the problem with the kid.
Yes, the kid is coincidentally 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I bet you can't tell where this is going.
Yeah. And then we see that Parker Posey goes to Lex's, then and Tenniki smacks him because she realized that Tenniki Lex cut the brace on purpose.
Yeah, she said, we were just going to pretend. And did you laugh when he said, men can always tell when women are faking it? I just went, really?
Really, Lex?
But also, I laughed because I was just in disbelief. Like, they really let him get away with this? Only a gay man could direct that and get away with it.
Yeah. And then there's she's like, you got your rock. And then Lex, we see the Lex makes kind of like a weird kryptonite cylinder. So his plan is to put out kryptonite and in the middle of it, one of the crystals from the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention the line where there's a really good line when they're up in the atmosphere with Clark and Lois, or Superman and Lois, and he tells her that he can hear the whole world pleading for a savior, despite what Lois wrote in her article. She's just like, you said the world doesn't need a savior, yet I hear them plead for one every day. And I was like, all right, that's actually pretty good. The way that Brandon Routh delivers it was very sincere.
Also, it's very sincere, but also sounds like a very, like, that thing about Superman that he feels like Jesus. He feels like a very Jesus kind of line.
Well, that's always been present with the character.
I know. But also, and then we see after this, also we see that Richard noted talking about Superman. I was like, wait, so Superman is like 6'4". He has all of this. And then they look at Clark. I was like, don't you think? And Lois was like, nah.
No, they both just laugh. And I'm like, are you laughing? He's actually on to something. And also, you're telling me that in those 5 years, Lois Lane didn't figure out that Clark Kent and Superman are the same person. They were gone at the same time. Clark mysteriously disappears. He's 6'4", just like Superman. They both have dark hair. They have the same eyes. You would think that a Pulitzer Prize winning reporter would put two and two together if they both end up gone at the same time. That's a hell of a coincidence. Maybe in
this universe, there's not a Maury Povich Superman. You are the father.
Yeah, but I like that Richard's, like, kind of insecure. But then we get Lois continuing to investigate the power outage, and it leads her to that mansion. Why did she bring her son along with him? Or with her? That was a really, really stupid, stupid move. This Lois Lane is kind of stupid.
I do agree with that complaint. I was also complaining about that. I was like, bitch, couldn't you just let him with Jess Marsden?
Because, look, it's one thing for her to get into trouble. Because Lois Lane now is a reporter, and trouble seems to find her. That's just how it goes. That's fine. She gets herself in danger, whether she means to or not, and she doesn't. But to drag your son, like, she's even said, no, you're coming with me. I'm like, why? Why are you? I mean, yeah, you could just roll down the window. He'll be fine.
That was a good one.
Just, like, just shit. And then they just go in. And
I love that the kid was Lex like, we're trespassing. No, maybe yes.
Yeah, but then literally it's just Lex in a bathrobe just brushing his teeth.
But I love how they get scared because I love that Lois gets scared because she sees the wigs. It's like, oh shit, this is Lex.
and then it's just like, oh, Lois Lane, hi.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid just goes, you're bald. I mean, it's like, yeah, but But then, of course, aboard the yacht, Lois Lane not tied. Lois and Jason not tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I guess it's because they had enough henchmen or whatever. But then he explains his evil plan, and once again, he's going to make a landmass. He intends to use the crystals that he took from Superman to sink them into the ocean, and he wants to create a brand new continent with enough real estate to overtake the Americas, Europe, and Africa.
And then to destroy them, people will die. I was like,
not just millions.
Billions.
I find it funny because in Goldmember, Kevin Spacey played the parody Dr. Evil as well. Because that's all I'm thinking of. It's just him going, billion people. And then he's just like, come on, say it.
Say the line, Lois. Superman will never. And then...
Wrong!
And then this scene is cool, but it has a really bad context because of what we know about Kevin Spacey. Because then Lex Luthor is holding the kryptonite cylinder,
which looks like a candle, like a scented candle.
But it looks like something else. Because then Lex Luthor stares at the kid. I was like, wait a minute. Who's the daddy? And then as he slowly put out this cylinder that looks like a penis around a child.
Well, it looks more like a scented candle, like one of those, like...
But it also could be a toy.
That's anything. But the kid is like looking... Ugh. And then Lois answers way too quickly. Oh, yeah, it's Richard. And Lex just gives this look like, we'll go with that. Huh. Okay.
And then as we see that Richard in the Daily Planet, he's at the computer of Lois, and they find out that her password is Superman. And they try to find out what happened to her. As we see that, we see Lois pleading with Lex Luthor, but just please go back and just let me leave the kid. I was like, no, you're going to come with us. As we see that Lex is prepares kind of like a missile with the cylinder with the one of the crystals, because we established that Lex steals like seven, eight crystals from the Fortress of Solitude. And Superman already knew about this because he went to the Fortress of Solitude. He saw the...
And he was like, hey, where's all my stuff? I've been robbed. I don't know why I'm thinking about this line, but I also remember from the marketing when they were just like... Because Jimmy has a picture of, or like when Superman's saving Parker Posey, some kid with a cell phone and a really bad, like one of those flip phones, gets high quality pictures.
That's a very high quality, yeah, like a Nikon kind of quality.
That's hard to get high quality now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, Jimmy, what can you do? Oh, I got this aerial shot, and it's like a spec. And then they're like, what is it? It's a bird? It's a plane? And then Clark comes in and he just goes, you wanted to see me? I remember they used that a lot for the marketing as well.
They use that in the trailers too.
I don't know why I just thought of that tangent. I couldn't get farther in this episode without mentioning it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, apparently it's a stolen Russian missile. Oh, gee. Not like the first movie at all. And they fire into the ocean, and it starts to create a new landmass, except it's literally made out of kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And then it causes yet another power outage.
And Metropolis gets an earthquake.
And then the most dated thing in this movie. Well, first, the kid, Jason, plays piano, and all he knows is heart and soul. You know, heart and soul. I liked the weird, like, funny thing where the henchman also, he starts playing with him as well.
And Lois tries to send a fax.
Remember fax machines?
Oh.
Yeah, like, she wouldn't get caught, like, he wouldn't hear the sound.
Of the machine. Those fax machines are very loud.
Also, the fact, why didn't they just tie her up?
Yeah.
Once she was done, it's like, don't you think she'll try to escape?
Also, because Lois is stupid because she left her phone in the car.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And while that's happening, the kid is having an asthma attack, and he's going, and she's just sitting there, asthma attack, as this henchman Henchman is brutally beating the crap out of Lois, and then the piano just gets flung, all but confirming this is Superman's son.
Yes, and kills the guy.
No, no, he just went, sorry. What do you mean, sorry? You're the son of Superman. What, does it only work when you feel like it? You selfish little bitch.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of my complaints. The fucking kid never tried to use his powers never again. Only for that fucking scene.
It makes no sense when you know that context.
Yeah, it feels like this is a fucking writer's note, writer's guilt. They should have used these fucking powers more, because the next action sequence that I do like a lot of James Marsden. And
here's there's a way to do it. I think a better way to show is like towards the climax of the movie.
I know, and Lois and the kid are trapping the refrigerator. I'm like, couldn't the fucking kid just let them?
Like when they're in the ship and everything, and then the kid punches the door or something, because Richard would be also there, and then he would know. And that would create that whole like drama, and then be like, oh shoot, what could happen?
That would have been cool.
The betrayal and all that stuff. And it would have been like,
that would have been a much better betrayal. Yeah.
Whoa, Superman, right after he got, well, stabbed. But back at the Daily Planet, the facts partially came through, and Clark and Richard decipher, oh yeah, there's coordinates on there. So Richard's going to take off in his small seaplane, and Superman's trying to follow, but he's getting sidetracked because all these new landmasses are causing tremors, and he's just saving people left and right, and it's crazy. Yeah, I do like how he's just like, ah, like he still saves people, but he's also kind of like, I'm on a deadline right here.
I don't like this sequence.
This is though. Like the one other like scene aside from the plane sequence that feels like there's a sense of urgency.
So much of this.
Everything else,
yeah,
we haven't mentioned the pacing is dreadful. It drags. This movie did not need to.
Yes, that is true.
You feel the 2.5 hour runtime.
We're skipping a lot because, yeah, the pacing is a big problem in this movie.
Yeah.
They should have cut like 30 minutes of this movie and it would have been the same. And so then I love that Superman is like saving the people that they're getting out of the buildings, saving them, because I love also like the little thing about the other movies about the different effects, because a guy was in a taxi, he drops his cigarette, and because of the earthquake, they destroy a gas pipe. And I love all of the everything burned up, boom, 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 boom. And then Superman freezes all of the gas. I do like that scene a lot.
He literally catches, I think it was Jimmy from falling from a building. He just sets him down immediately. And there's falling debris, and he uses his heat vision as like a sheet shield. That's cool. Even though the heat vision looks exactly the same as Smallville's.
And I love when everybody's getting out of the Daily Planet and the Daily Planet globe falls. And I love the Frangela is staring like he's about to die. And it reminded me a lot of Glenn Close when she's staring at the thing from Mars Attacks. I was like, the chandelier.
Oh, yeah. But then Superman, of course, catches it and very, very slowly puts it down. And we hear,
he posed for the cover of the comic, because it looks like a comic cover.
Yes. And I'll say Brandon Routh's physique, pretty good. And the suit itself is not bad. I like that the S crest, it's actually made up of a bunch of little S's. I'm not a big fan of the color scheme of the red, but that's just me. I think the blue is good. And like on the posters and everything for Superman Returns, he's got like the bright red and all that stuff. Why didn't they just do that for the movie? They literally gave him the trunks and everything. The S looks cool. And yeah, I don't know why they did that. But also, Perry White says his catchphrase from the comic books, which is "Great Caesar's ghost." It's very golden age.
Yes. And then after this, we see that Lex Luthor left Lois and the kid in kind of like a refrigerator that let them trap. And we see that then Lex realizes that the kid is Superman's son because of the piano thing. I was like, oh. I'm like, Lex Luthor would have kidnapped the kid and leave Lois to die in the refrigerator. That's my problem with that scene too. It will have got most drama, though, because then Superman could have saved Lois first and then could get the kid for the final act. I think it would have been better.
Or would have been like, you can save the kid. Or like he's like, you don't want to do that because he could use the kid as the hostage as well as the kryptonite. And then he's just like, you wouldn't want me to kill your own son. Da, da, da.
Or, you know what would have been cool too? Because of the whole planet setup that is around kryptonite, you could have kept the kid in kind of like a prison around kryptonite to save the kid. That would have been a much better sequence.
He looked more scared of it than anything, but yeah. So it's literally building a continent of kryptonite. And while that's there, well, it's first of all,
evil, though.
Luther is in the white suit, mm-hmm. like when he's the president in Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the sequence of future Lex.
Yes.
And he's visibly weaker. So Lex just and his thugs beat him up. And then he stabs him with a kryptonite shard.
Exactly like Jesus Christ on the side.
Yeah. And then he just throws him from a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a small splash for such a large distance.
But I do love this scene, though.
Oh, I do, too.
It feels so beautiful and dramatic, and the whole pain, and the music. Wow. I was like, God damn it, it hurts.
Oh, and then they're just like, we gotta go back.
I know Parker Posey Joe crying.
Yeah, because she's actually feeling bad. Like, are people, millions actually gonna die, Lex? And he just goes, yes.
Yes. But only focus on the eyes. Bryan Singer does a thing of focusing a lot on Lex's eyes.
Yeah. But anyway, Jason spots Superman because of his sight, and then Lois goes in, manages to get Superman's cape, haul him up to the surface.
Also, we skip when Superman saves James Marsden, the kid, and Lois from the
ship. Yeah, as the yacht was getting Titanic'd.
Yes, by the kryptonite.
Yes, and so they do that, and
so you can say, correct me if I'm wrong. Because this is my other problem with the movie. The kid didn't react to the kryptonite when Lex was rubbing it, but then he got the superpower, so maybe the kid doesn't have superpowers because of the whole kryptonite earth thing?
Yeah, also, it seems like kryptonite doesn't affect him, maybe because he's half human, half Kryptonian, but still, it should affect him in some way.
Yeah.
And
you can say it could be Steven Universe rules.
I guess. But anyway, Lois pulls out the huge kryptonite shard. She doesn't get all of it. There's still like a little
She had very
left.
Handy tweezers. Yeah.
There's like one that's like the size of a splinter.
Mm-hmm.
Like a small sliver is still in there.
Mm-hmm.
But while that's happening, Superman's just like, thank you, but I gotta go back. And they're like, but it's made out of kryptonite, you'll die. And he's like, he doesn't say anything. He's just like, well, later, bitch. And then he goes to the sun.
And it feels like they wasted like 30 minutes of this whole rescue thing. I do agree with that, but that's a problem with pacing too.
Yeah, you're just... there's no sense of urgency. And it really kills what momentum they had building up for it. It's just like, okay, you kind of need to like... If it's there's a whole lack of action
mm-hmm.
and a lot of lifting and lowering things. That's not exciting for people to watch. When you blow your big action scene in the first act of the movie, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You save the big act 3 battle for act 3 for a reason.
Yes.
But anyway, he goes up to the sun.
Gets recharged.
Does the Jesus thing, tries to recharge, because I guess he's solar powered. And then he burrows down. I liked that he uses his heat vision and
goes to the middle of the... Middle/bottom of the whole Fortress of Solitude/Kryptonite place.
But he's also using all as much rock and soil and all that stuff in the ocean. He's also kind of using that to shield himself from the kryptonite. And then Lex and the henchmen.
I do like the... I love how he's lifting it. We see that kryptonite little bit growing little by little by little. And it's getting close to Superman. I do like that shot too.
I do too. And so Parker Posey, Lex Luthor, and all the henchmen try to escape, but all the henchmen get killed by a falling crystal. And just Lex, Parker Posey, and the dog managed to board the helicopter that was also conveniently on there, which they did establish through shots. And
Parker Posey drops the crystals.
intentionally throws him out, and then Lex is pissed, and he's like, why'd you do that? And she's just like, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm sorry. Like, trying to act all innocent, and it's like, you did it on purpose.
Yeah, she did it on purpose.
Yeah, and then Superman's getting weaker and weaker, and he manages to get the continent of Kryptonite, throws it into space, yet again. That's just his solution to everything. Just throw it into space.
Just put it in space.
Yeah, like, that didn't... That certainly worked in Superman 2 in the Donner Cut, and it and Superman 4 with Nuclear Man.
Nuclear.
Nuclear, as Gene Hackman said. Anyway, Superman plummets to the Earth, drops right in the middle of Metropolis, I guess. I
don't like the boom.
He didn't cause, like, he didn't go to the center of the Earth, but whatever. And then he's just rushed to a regular hospital.
I do like the people trying to save him, and they cannot even put out a syringe. I do like that lighter, tiny little detail that they cannot help him.
Yeah, because they do manage to remove the kryptonite, but his heart stopped. And when they try to revive him or resuscitate him, he blows out all the power. And that's also how we get Brandon Routh shirtless. Good physique for him. Good job.
Also, this is my other complaint. This scene kills the pacing a lot too. For this will be the last 20 minutes of the movie, just we see Superman is alive or not.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. They spend too much time on it. Apparently, it's been several days he had not regained consciousness, so he's in a coma. Por qué?
Por qué?
But a vigil is held outside.
And I love that Perry White is prepared. Superman lives, Superman is dead. He has the two headlights just ready.
You know, it's also funny because there was going to be a movie called Superman Lives.
Superman Lives, yeah.
And during the production of this movie, Bryan Singer would take out the photo of Nicolas Cage in the Superman in his Superman suit and said, you guys were going to make this whenever they had whenever they complained about something. Bryan Singer would just do that. And they would all shut up and just go with it. But then Lois is clearly upset. So Richard is just like, I'll drive you there. And manages to get Lois and Jason in to see him, although he isn't awake. They're treating this sort of like, they treat him like Princess Diana in a way, you know, like with the paparazzi and everything.
Yes, that's true.
And then she just leans over and does the Lost in Translation thing where we don't hear what they whisper, but I'm pretty sure it's, hey, that's your kid, get up.
Yeah.
Also, I love you. Take me, man, meat. Wee wee.
God, I don't want you to think I'm a slut. Yes. And also, I think she also tried to do the Disney thing because she kisses him on the forehead and nothing happened.
I thought she kissed him on the lips.
Oh, but then the kid also kisses him on the forehead.
Yeah, and then Jason kisses him on the forehead. And then he's also just playing with, like, the S on the costume and everything. And then they're escorted. And we also saw Martha Kent is there. And looks at the kid and is just like, huh, looks very similar. Can't see. But anyway, we see Lex and Parker Posey on a small deserted island with no food or water. And then
just the dog
and six coconuts. And he's just like, I would trade all the coconuts, every ounce of your blood, just for a quart of gasoline. Because now they're stuck. And then she's just like, what are they going to do to eat? And then we see Lex eyeing the dog. And then afterwards, we see the nurse check in on the room. The bed is empty. He lives, much like Jesus Christ. He has risen.
Maybe 3 days later, we don't know.
It probably was, because this was supposed to take place a couple days later. But then that evening, he flies to Lois and Richard's house. And she's trying to write a new article. Why the world needs Superman, or why do I need Superman?
You can say that she went to a story arc right there. But also, I do like this scene, though. I know people have problems with this, but I do like Superman staring at Jason. I was like, the son has become the father. Now the father.
I got the quote. I think you'll be different. Sometimes you'll feel like an outcast, but you'll never be alone. You'll make my strength your own. You'll see my life through your eyes, and your life will be seen through mine. Father becomes the son, or the son becomes the father, and the father becomes the son. I mean, that's really good words. That's like great words just in general for a father to tell a son. And then just before he leaves, Lois is just outside, I guess. Oh, yeah, trying to smoke again, because that's what you do when you're stressed. No sarcasm. But then we just hear Jason go, goodbye. And then we see Superman leaving. And he's just like, yep, that's our kid, Lois. And she's just like, will I see you again? Will I see you around? And he just goes, I'm always around, except for those 5 years. But I'm fine now. I'm here.
You owe me alimony, you asshole, Lex.
And then Lois, he takes off. And then they recreate the ending shot of flying off into the sunset and looking into the camera. It's not done quite as well.
And he doesn't smile a lot. He doesn't smile like he's acting like Christopher Reeve, but it's kind of like not doing it, but also doing it at the same time.
But you could say in that movie, Superman Returned, and because the movie didn't make a ton of money, made about $300
million,
it wasn't quite enough for Warner Brothers to... They were going to make a sequel. They canceled it. And then years later, about four years later, they just rebooted the whole thing. And we've already gone down that history.
We already did that history.
But yeah, pretty much we've covered almost all the Superman movies from the main series. Except for Supergirl and I guess the 40s Superman. But they more or so do their own thing. When we get more movies, we'll get to it. We'll probably cover Superman Legacy at some point.
Maybe. Depends. I still don't have a lot of hope for that movie. Yeah, but...
But you know what they say about hope. Brings eternal misery.
But yeah, this movie, we talk about the problems, the plot holes, the timeline doesn't make any sense. The pacing is bad, but I still like this movie, though. I do like Kevin Spacey, Lex Luthor, Brandon Rock looks amazing. I do like the action. Yes, the movie needed more action. Or,
you know, when it happened. When
it happened, yes, it needed more action. The Kate buzzword is not a very good Lois Lane. But everything else, though. And also because I had the nostalgia, because this was the first Superman movie I saw in a theater. I will give this movie an 8.
Okay, this for me, I'm going to be harsher.
I know. That's okay.
I don't hate this movie. I want to make that very clear off the get-go. I think there's a lot of good things to it, and I think it's kind of underrated when it's like discussion about Superman lore. But it's too stuck in the past. It's trying to be a homage, but it's also trying to be a direct sequel. You can't do both.
No, you can't.
The time period is inconsistent. There's a lot of inconsistencies. It's pretty well cast for the most part. But it's just... The pacing makes it very, very boring, dude. Like, there are stretches of the film where I'm just like, why am I here? Do something, for the love of God.
You're like, Elaine, give me something that I can use. It's just like,
yeah, and it's just, you know, it's just a fine movie. It's not spectacular. And then people are like, Superman fans, I'm going to call you out, and you're bitching about, oh, we should do something similar to the Donner version. Well, we did that. It was this movie. You didn't.
This was this one. You didn't show up.
And then they're just like, oh, well, DC should just have made their universe by trying to build it first. We tried that, or they tried that. It was called Green Lantern.
You said no.
And then it's like, oh, we want something new, and but try to modernize Superman. We had that. It was called Man of Steel. My point is, those bitches are never going to be satisfied, and they can kiss my ass for all I care.
Fans feel like a lot like Star Wars fans.
They're horrible.
Yeah.
Like, not all of them, but a lot of them are just horrible. and they don't know what they want. You don't know what you want because you're kids and you're stupid.
Thank you. This, I was going to bring up that Simpsons quote. Thank you so much.
It's literally the Simpsons scene with the itchy and scratchy the test audience of the kids.
Yeah.
But let's end on a high note. I think this movie's a 6.
Okay.
For 2006. And you know what? It was interesting rewatching it years later. It brought me back to a time when I was a child.
That's good.
And you know, not every movie can do that for you. But yeah, we covered Superman. My birthday month is done. What we'll do next month? Well, as of the time of this recording, it's up to you guys.
It's your decision.
But until then, where can the good people find you, buddy?
You can find me, as always, at RaoVaderRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RaoVaderRDC. Please follow the podcast on SYNSPod on Twitter. Give us a nice review on Apple, Spotify, and the other ones in Ubili.
Yes, you can follow me on Letterboxd and Twitter at MasterOfPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow the main show on Twitter at SYNSPod, as well as give us a 5-star. Just write a review on Apple Podcasts, and also listen to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Spotify for Podcasters, wherever podcasts can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun. Yay!